And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. And I'm in the studio with Lillian Blades. We were getting super excited before the break because we started like getting really on a roll about her practice and how it connects to so many things, which answers so many questions I always had about it. How she came to this kind of patchwork approach of sort of sewing paintings together in a way, and really fascinating, and how it's sort of, again, you're telling about your story and piecing it together. And I think for so many people, particularly people of African descent, but what I'm finding as well is that even, you know, I'm lucky enough that I can trace further back, but so many people that came to the Bahamas have these really complicated stories. And, you know, and then, you know, white families that married black families, or weird connections, or people that were rejected or not rejected, or, you know, you were adopted by this person or brought up by your grandmother. And it's not an uncommon story to island people, I think, in the Bahamas and the region. And as I shared with you, you know, I'm finding all these things about my family, and it's not unusual for white Bahamians either. Like, very often something happened where they got split from cousins, or they married this one and then they didn't talk, or they... Mm-hmm. Or what have you. And so there's all these amazing, amazing kind of histories that we have to piece together. And I think piecing it together is a part of understanding who we are, not just individually, but also as a nation, and how we can actually come together and say, like, well, we share in this. And, you know, there was this traumatic history. How do we form a union and move forward? And I think sort of understanding and talking about it is a way. Yeah. Making art is a way, definitely. Yeah. It's why I believe in what I do, that the stories artists tell and the uncomfortable topics that can be addressed also through art allow us to be expressive about these things that have happened and brings us closer. So you're now home. So you live away, more or less. I mean, you live in Atlanta. Yes. But you came home for how long now? For about 3 months.
Yeah, I was here from the end of... just after Christmas, and I started the art residency at Bahamar.
So tell me a little about that and what that's been like. So you came back to be at Bahamar for one of the residencies. What kind of impact? And also, you've been doing your works a little bit different. So I remember seeing you about 4 years ago, maybe, I can't remember, even five, and you were like, "Oh, I'm doing this stuff now. I'm using glass," and you were all excited about like glass and mirrors, and I just saw the work that you've made for Bahamar, which is this huge commission. What's it like? I mean, how did you leap to glass? But then also, how has it been to be home now? You talked very eloquently about how your work has sort of been a finding of yourself in a way. Has it changed at all to spend an amount of time now back in the Bahamas with this kind of knowledge of yourself and this sort of understanding of your work? How's that been for you to be here? I know it's not an easy question.
Well, I spent most of my time at the Current. So yeah. I interacted with a lot of people that came in to the studio there and the artists that work there from, you know, that are Bahamian. Mm-hmm. So most of my interaction was with the tourists and people that came to visit me and coming home like on the weekend to spend time with my mom. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do a lot of activities around. So,
But now your mom is then
my
your aunt?
Aunt? Mm-hmm. Okay. My paternal aunt.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. She's 84 now.
Wow.
And so I've been home with her working on some new work and just spending time with her. And I would walk from the house over the bridge in the evenings and come back. Mm-hmm. So that's been my life the last week or so since I've left.
That sounds amazing, man.
Yeah, and I'm learning how to dive. Well, at least just doing the online part.
Wow. But that's interesting you said that. I don't think we have it. I realize that there's a difference in relationship that you have with a city that you walk around and a city that you drive in.
Yeah, because I'm not driving while I'm here.
Right, so. But I think actually that's very lucky, because I think when you are always driving, you don't... Like, I realized that when I lived in New York and then I went to live in L.A., like, you develop a very different relationship. If you walk around a city and you walk it block by block, or you take public transport, you know, you really have a very different relationship to if you drive it all the time. Because when you drive it, you're sort of contained in this kind of bubble, right? And you just go to places and then you interact with those people. You don't really interact with the city.
Yeah, I have more people that pass and say, "Hey, Lillian, or see me when I'm walking."
Yeah, yeah, I've got, that's what I mean. Yeah, so it's kind of nice that you have that, that you're doing that, because I think it gives you a different perspective.
Yeah, I like it. I have my earphones in, and I'm just mm-hmm. keep going. And I'm trying to get back in shape because I've been eating a lot when I was on the residency.
Yeah, well, I know, and Bahamian food, right? You definitely need to keep. You need to walk.
But so, how did you?
So the work you've done now, you started introducing like mirror and glass. How did you? I mean, first of all, technically, how do you even do that? I mean, because I can understand like sewing frames or canvas together, but how do you create? And it must be very heavy. Like, how do you create a structure?
It's not as heavy. I make a wooden panel, mm-hmm. and it's more of a mosaic-like mm-hmm. approach.
Okay.
But I start off painting mm-hmm. and collaging, mm-hmm. and then I build up the materials, mm-hmm. Thicker materials and objects. Mm-hmm. I find objects that kind of connect with the theme of whatever the mm-hmm. work is about, and has a patina mm-hmm. that triggers your memory. Mm-hmm.
And is that like thrifting? Is that
all of it? I don't discriminate.
Yeah.
If it works just visually, if it, I can attach it in some way, mm-hmm. and if you just look at it as an object that can integrate into the thickness of the, I work it with like maybe below 4 inches of mm-hmm. or maybe mm-hmm. 3 inches of the surface. Mm-hmm. And so on a like a technical mm-hmm. I would have a gradation from dark to light usually. Mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. keep it not too jumpy since the surface is very rich texturally. Mm-hmm. I would have a value gradation that's mm-hmm. dark to light, usually from top to bottom or bottom to top. Mm-hmm. And so it would range in a flow that's kind of like a mark of like a Rothko painting, mm-hmm. but more textural, mm-hmm. and the colors would flow in a monochromatic way. Mm-hmm. But I've been pushing more a movement with the color and like have your eyes flow, but mm-hmm. from with a widening the range of the colors. Mm-hmm. But
so if you're working at Balmar, mm-hmm. Where are you finding stuff there? I mean, I would just think
I had to do a whole lot of
beach comb. Did you like? How did you
that
like?
Too, yeah. I went to Cat Island and I got a lot of shells mm-hmm. and dove. I drove for sand dollars.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Got driftwood and I took pictures that I included in the work as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I did a lot. I brought a lot with me too, since I knew that I was going to be working with the theme of the water, the beach, the mm-hmm. it's called Where the Ocean Meets the Sand. Mm-hmm. So I took I collected pictures and I took pictures and I materials that related to the sea, like shells mm-hmm. and driftwood. And
do you just let the material speak to you and how you organize it on the panel? Like how do you just feel it? Like where
I feel it. Yeah. It tells me yes and no for some mm-hmm. reason. Like mm-hmm. no, I don't want to be here. I want to be next to this piece. Mm-hmm. I love the way how my eyes would flow, and if it feels like something isn't flowing right, I would move it around until it says, yeah, this mm-hmm. is right. Mm-hmm. So I like that conversation I'm having with the work. Mm-hmm. It keeps me present in the moment, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm able to, you know, enjoy the process of mm-hmm. creating.
Mm-hmm. And these were how big, and they look pretty monumental. How big are they, the pieces for the Bahamar Commission?
They're 8 feet tall and 10 feet wide, both of them.
So that's
like
pretty
eight
huge.
By 20 feet altogether.
And what is that? You said it didn't weigh that much, but I can't imagine that mm-hmm. it doesn't weigh that if it's full of objects.
So they're not solid pieces of wood. Each one of those like canvases or panels are hollow on the inside.
Okay.
I feel like I have to make this is a lot of construction, like wooden construction. So if it was solid pieces of wood, like mm-hmm. it would look like, it would be heavier.
Okay.
And
so it's kind of like a frame more than it is a solid piece of wood somehow.
And mm-hmm. I use picture frames because mm-hmm. picture frames are about capturing memories mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you have a lot of those on the beach. Mm-hmm. And so I like that, and I like the architectural quality of the work where it's kind of a honeycomb city-like surface, like you're flying over a city. I love the shadows that it creates.
Yeah.
I love the glass, the different thicknesses of various glass and mirrors and stained glass and images.
And do you use the mirror
glass
for because it's reflective, because people can see themselves in it too? Is that a part of it?
I love to be able to see my reflection. I want the viewer to be able to be inside of the piece. I want them to walk in front of it and see themselves in it, see the environment come into the work. So no matter where the work is, it's going to be different, you know. So where it is right now at Bahamar, it's reflecting the sky, and I love the blue of the sky interacting with the blue of the of the water. So I'm really happy with the jewel-like quality that's happening. It's flickering like a faceted jewel.
Oh, how that you described that beautifully. So those are at the they're in the conference center. It's the second phase of the what's the name of the show? Fairwind
2.0.
Yeah, Fairwind 2.0. So it's the second phase of Fairwind. For people that don't know, the Fairwind exhibition
and
is
it opens,
sort
I
of
think in June.
Yeah, I think it opens in June. But I think probably people can go and already look at the work in the the conference center at Bahamar. There are these
on
sort of
the
public spaces.
Wing, the west side.
Yeah, and there's basically on one side, there's Fairwind 1, which is a sort of history of Bahamian art.
100 years
of Bahamian art. It's pretty amazing. We've loaned a painting to that, which is extraordinary, this big giant Brent Malone piece, which is 9 feet
by
18 feet.
It's a gorgeous exhibition.
Yeah, it really is.
If you haven't seen it, go and check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I would say to anyone who's curious about Bahamian art, go there, because it is it's a public space. You just park at the Bahamar area and you walk to the conference center, and all the way around the rooms, there's just these huge hallways, and they have these different commissions there. I think there's the Jordana Kelly Commission was one of the earliest commissions. And then they did the Fairwind show, and now they're doing this second phase where they're commissioning artists to do these kind of large scale works, and you were invited to do one of them.
Yeah.
So, and that must have been exciting when you got that call.
Yeah. And Natasha had called me and asked me if I'd be interested. And I'm like, of course, I'd love to, you know, and I wanted to do a large piece about the our Bahamian waters. So it seemed to be the perfect place at Bahamar.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I knew exactly what I was going
to
do.
You're like, I got to research. I have to go to Cat Island for a week. Very smart woman. One of my favorite places.
And
that's beautiful.
And I actually went with one of a collector friend of mine, Jenny. She had bought my first Bahama Seashore piece.
Oh,
and
wow.
She had bought it's so funny how she grew up going to the Bimini's with her father bone fishing, and she just got a house in Cat Island. And
wow.
So she invited me to come. She's like, just come on.
What part of Cat Island?
On the northern side by Shannon's Cove.
Okay. Yeah, I've never been up there. I always go to the south. I have a friend who lives in Devil's Point, so I always go down there.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful, Cat Island.
We went throughout the whole island, but we stayed up in the north by Shannon's Cove and kayaking around.
Wow.
It was beautiful.
So, and then perfect research for your work.
Yeah.
Your very beautiful
work. I
included
a lot of pictures that I took underwater and along the beach inside of the work too.
Is that something you miss the most about the Bahamas, is the water?
Yes.
I know, whenever I come home and I'm just, when you see that first bit of that turquoise water when you're flying back from somewhere, you're just
The blues are, you can't get any blues anywhere else.
They say, the astronauts say it's the most beautiful place from space when they're up in the space station.
I think the color that has the most widest range is our blues.
You mean as an artist, where you can get the most different colors out of blue? Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's got more shades.
And I'm a swimmer, so I love the water. You know, it's I couldn't wait to get back to be in the water.
Yeah. So what next for Lillian Blade? So you've got a career in Atlanta. I know. I see you doing shows all the time, and you're very successful. And now you're here doing this residency. What do you think is your next project?
When I go back, I have a few commissions that I'm going to be working on, and I have to redo a public art commission that I did about 15 years ago for the East Atlanta Library.
Okay.
So I'll be working on their. They're redoing the library, so I have to take the artwork down and rework it for the space. So that'll be done.
That's kind of exciting, though. You get to re-spruce it up a bit.
Yeah, and then I'm working on a solo show for next April at the Sumter Gallery.
Okay, great. And when you do a public commission, do you involve members of the public at all? Or
usually my public artworks are are community-based, mm-hmm. or it's involved like a school or mm-hmm. a group in some mm-hmm. way. Like I just did a piece for the Phillips Arena, now the mm-hmm. State Farm Arena, mm-hmm. where I worked with students from the Future Foundation, which mm-hmm. is an after-school foundation mm-hmm. for kids, mm-hmm. and that one of the Hawks players founded. Mm-hmm. And I worked with the Spelman art students on mm-hmm. some of the work that was included, the same way I worked with the UB art students mm-hmm. for the Baham art piece. Mm-hmm. And I've almost most of my public art projects, I love the individual voices that everybody brings. Mm-hmm. That's unique. Because like with quilting, you have so many different type variations in the patches that you mm-hmm. that you would have. So, I mean, if I did everything myself, it would feel...
It would feel static, probably.
Yeah. So I wanted the variety. Like the East Atlanta Library, it was a community project. It's called Quilted Community. And it was over 300 persons from the East Atlanta community that we had quilting bees, basically, wow. like painting bees.
Yeah, where yeah.
I would be in the middle with my assistants, and I limit the colors to 10 colors. Mm-hmm. And they had 12 by 12 panels that they painted on. And so I just ask them to paint how they feel about their community or different, mm-hmm. you know, any approach they wanted. It could be representational, mm-hmm. it could be abstract, mm-hmm. and I composed it and orchestrated it in a way that came together to create this 75-foot piece that wow. went around the circulation desk. And I've done it for Jean Charles Young Middle School. Mm-hmm. With it was a commission from the Andrew Young Foundation, mm-hmm. and I worked with all of the students in the school to. They drew each other's eyes, and mm-hmm. I focused on her eyes, and I included their eyes, Jean Charles Young eyes, and this was a 25-foot piece, 12 mm-hmm. feet tall, mm-hmm. and it's a permanent installation at the Jean Charles Young Middle School.
And sounds like we're going to have to get you back here to do some public commissions. For us.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Well, I hope you have seen downtown. We've been doing murals. We've been doing a lot of mural projects, the NAGB. We're trying to kind of get outside yeah. the walls. But that sounds like it's like a different way to approach it, right? Is
yeah,
to kind of almost create individual artworks.
I'm sure that could happen, too.
Yeah.
But I love texture and
yeah.
stuff. So
I mean, we've got to think about how to make that happen. Because that's how do you clean your works? My gosh, that would be one thing I'd wonder. You have to really...
Well, the work right now, as you see, is... I don't have the niches as mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
But I remember Diagolo, he pointed that out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you have to dust them. But
sometimes we have things at the airport here, and luckily I did see they just clean them. But for a couple of years, I'd go past like Antonius Roberts with these beautiful glass balls that hang from the ceiling, and they were just getting so dusty on top.
Like,
and I was like, someone's got to clean them.
Yeah, and it's, for some reason, it does seem to be more dust gathers here than
it seems that way. I don't know what it is. I think probably that we don't have the same, like, I don't know, our cars do seem to spit out quite a lot of bad stuff. Well, so that's exciting. So Lillian, I really so great that you could come in the studio tonight. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us and our audience. It was great to learn so much about your practice and about you, and I hope you've been inspirational to some people listening. Maybe they're gonna let their kids study art at UB.
Yeah, it's a great start. And then,
it is a great start. It is. Now, I've had a lot of professors at other schools.
Actually, you can get your bachelor's now, right? So,
exactly.
When I was there, I was only able to get my
I think now
it
can go to a bachelor's. Yeah. I think now you can.
But, hey, now you could go get your master's after that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out a way, the NAGB is trying to figure out a way to work with UB to also teach conservation. Because I think that would also be a great for young Bahamians to learn how to be conservators.
Curating
conservators. But again, there's so much work that has to be done to care for paintings after they're done. I mean, not just, I'm joking about cleaning them, but seriously, like cleaning them,
maintaining.
We really have to learn how to do that, because we gather works from other people's collections to show at the NAGB, we realize that there's still quite some education that has to get done on how to care for works once you own them. You know,
and creating my piece at the airport in Atlanta has a really thick glass casing around it. I was able to really do a lot and push it out like almost a foot away from the piece.
Yeah, I love that piece. It's like over an escalator or something, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I go, I'm like, every time I'm in Atlanta, I'm like very, you know, whenever I see anything from the Bahamas, I get very excited and embarrass my children. They're all like, mommy, mommy. I'm like, 242. They're like, mommy, shh. But anyway, so thank you again so much for coming in. It's lovely to have you. And for people listening, if you'd like to see some of Lillian's work, do go to the Bahama Convention Center and look at the new pieces and enjoy them. So, Lillian, thank you so much.
You can work on lillianblades.com.
And lillianblades.com. Mm-hmm. There you go. Two Facebook. L's, right? L-I-L-L-I-A-N.
Yes.
.com. So go to lillianblades.com and look at her work. So that was all from us tonight. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery. You've been hearing from Lillian Blades. And we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening, and good night.